1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. What was Hurricane Helene is now a bunch of thunderstorms from about Memphis to Virginia Beach, leaving at least 40 deaths in Florida and the southeast, over 3.5 million power outages, and a lot of flooding and other destruction. As he left Air Force One at Delaware's Dover Air Force Base, ABC's Karen Travers asked President Biden about the Israeli or IDF air attack on Beirut, in which the leader of Hezbollah was targeted.
Still gathering information. I can tell you the United States had no knowledge of or participation in the IDF action. We're gathering more information. I'll have more to say when we have more information.
Lebanon's health ministry says several people were killed and dozens more hurt. A federal grand jury has indicted three Iranian hackers in the theft and peddling of materials stolen from a Trump campaign advisor. Not guilty, the plea from New York City Mayor Eric Adams at his arraignment, accused of accepting more than $100,000 in improper benefits. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A change of plans for Donald Trump's rally in southwest Wisconsin tomorrow. It's been moved from the airport in Prairie du Chien to a performing arts auditorium indoors. The Secret Service says it's stretched thin due to the United Nations General Assembly meetings in New York. Wisconsin school superintendent says budget-writing lawmakers should release $50 million to support literacy education. Jill Underley says the Joint Finance Committee's decision to hold on to the money is putting a burden on local communities.
They have, with good faith, bought new curriculum, have trained their teachers, but they haven't released the funding that they need to do this. And so they are footing the bill, and their taxpayers in the local communities are having to do it. And the money is there. It just hasn't been released.
Underley accuses Joint Finance Republicans of obstruction. She gave her annual State of Education speech yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer will visit Green Bay as part of the Fighting for Reproductive Freedom bus tour supporting the Harris-Waltz campaign. She'll be in Green Bay at a canvas launch 9:30 Saturday morning. She'll then head to Waukesha on Sunday. Northeast Wisconsin hosted supporters campaigning for former President Donald Trump in Green Bay and Appleton earlier this week. Two Red Cross volunteers from the Green Bay area are taking an emergency response vehicle down to Florida to help following the landfall of Hurricane Helene. Northeast Wisconsin Red Cross volunteers Lisa Mertens and Dennis Meyer left yesterday. The vehicle's filled with ready-to-eat meals, bottled water, and first aid supplies. Helene made landfall in Florida last night as a Category 4 hurricane with winds at 140 miles an hour. It has since been downgraded to a tropical storm. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
A potential playoff preview begins tonight. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers are locked into the NL's third seed and will play in next week's wildcard round. This weekend, one of their potential playoff opponents, the New York Mets, are in Milwaukee for a three-game series. The playoffs begin Tuesday. A familiar face awaits on the opposing sideline this Sunday. Vikings running back Aaron Jones will play his first game against his former team. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur said there's still a lot of love for Jones in Green Bay.
You can't help but, you know, love the person and who he is and what he's all about and his family. I mean, they were always around, and you know, you gotta, no different than when I go against my brother, you gotta shut it off for a period of time, and then, you know, you can hug him after the game and tell him you love him.
The team has not announced whether Jordan Love will play after missing 2 weeks with an MCL sprain. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny and mild for tomorrow, highs in the upper 70s. And upper 70s to around 80 with sun Sunday and Monday. Then much cooler. Highs fall back to the low 60s on Tuesday and upper 60s for Wednesday. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW. And on the Civic Media app.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a new News magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live. Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, very excited to have Lee McGowan, the politics girl, is going to join us as we break down the upcoming 2024 presidential election. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10. This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves the sin but hates the sinner, Pete Chwaba.
Damn right. Hey, Wisconsin, how we doing? Oh, it is Friday night, ladies and gentlemen. This is exciting. It's always exciting. For some reason, it's more exciting to talk about show business, movies and TV and comedy and music on a Friday night, because that's kind of the genesis. That's when it all starts, is weekends. Entertainment, it's extra special on the weekends. It can get us through the week. After a long day, we sit down and we binge watch, or we watch movies, put on the headphones, listen to some music, but I'm telling you, Friday night is the night to discuss movies and TV and all kinds of entertainment stuff, which we will do presently. It is great to have you with me wherever you are in our great state. It's great to have you tuning in, whether it's on the radio or on the stream. Hey, Conrad, I think we should just go over the parameter. Where can people stream? Where can people watch the radio?
Of course. Yeah, we're on YouTube, WGBW or Civic Media. We're on Facebook, Nightlight with Pete Chwaba. And on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, Civic Media.
This is getting insane with Twitter because, I'm hearing from people that I don't even follow. Like Twitter, regardless of what your political views are, Twitter is so right wing right now. You can't sign on without. I'm seeing all of Trump's tweets and all of Elon Musk's. That's how my feed is, and I don't follow either one of them. It's just, it's like, I don't even like it to begin with. I don't like Twitter anymore, or X, or whatever the heck you want to call it. It's just a cesspool.
Yes, it is.
But I still go there for news, because they break news quickly. I have some sports people I follow there, but you can't sign in without being in-your-face politics. It's terrible.
Well, see, my Twitter is mainly all sports. Like, that's all I will see. And then the occasional, like, video I didn't want to see. I'm like, cool, you just ruined my day. Thank you,
like
Twitter.
Like what video?
Just something I didn't want.
So it's you're just not random. Getting the political stuff?
No, not on Twitter, no.
I probably need to make an adjustment or fix a setting or something, but see, I cannot get away from it. It's maddening.
This is what happens when you click on the tweet, to get more explanation. You want to look at the comments for it or something. That's when they're like, oh,
then
he likes it.
Then they keep feeding you.
He likes it, so I'm going to keep doing it. That's the algorithm that they serve. So me, every time I see something with sports, I click on it.
Yeah.
And now my feed is just all Twitter or sports on Twitter.
But here's why I hear what you're saying. I've heard that before. Algorithms, yada, yada. However, I do click on people I follow politically, and I'm curious about the comments. Mostly I go to see comments because oftentimes on Twitter, you'll see comments that attack whoever posted it more so than
yes,
support.
Yes,
you will. It's so twisted.
Yep. Yes, it is.
It should be called Twistered.
Well,
with an X.
I think it's worse on theirs because it's like anonymous pretty much.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We've talked about that before. You can have just put up an avatar and name your name as Mike 1234, and you can say whatever you want. It's totally gutless. I cannot stand it. I really how did I start off the night on such a negative? Well, how did I get on Twitter? Oh, because you can watch us on Twitter.
Yeah, you can. So anyways, you can watch us on Civic Media's Twitter page.
Okay.
We're live on there right now.
That's lovely. we had a fun show tonight. At 6:35, the guy behind the guy will be here. That's all I'm going to say. I'll give you his actual name in the next segment. But he's a guy that's introduced us to a lot of guests here at Nightlight, and I'm thankful for that. And he's a former record executive. But for right now, no names. Actually, if you go to our social media, you'll know who it is. But I'm calling him the guy behind the guy because that's cool. You know, you want to be the guy orchestrating people's lives. That's power, baby. JB Thompson is his name. Let's quit messing around. He'll be here at 6:35. Really good guy. Excited to talk to him about an upcoming event that we will also have people on Monday talking about. Bill Rabane, the director of the Giant Spider Invasion, they're having a big gathering for him, I think October 5th, next Saturday, in Wauwega. And he is a legendary director, and he lives in northern Wisconsin, and he filmed that cult classic in northern Wisconsin. So we talked about Bill before on the show. We've had Bill on the show. And he was really fascinating to talk to. But JB will be here. He'll talk a little bit about that. Another indie film he's working on. His time in the record business. That'll be fun. That's at 6:35. And then, ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday night, which can only mean one thing. It is a Bar Band Friday night. Co-host of Max Inc. Radio, Terry Barr, will be here sharing new music with us, as she does every week, and sparkling conversation. Is there a more positive or upbeat sounding person that you've met in your life, Conrad, than Terry Barr?
I don't think so.
She's like so happy all the
time.
Well,
we just met Charo, though, so.
Okay, touche. Terry, that'll be fun to mention to Terry. Terry, you've been one-upped. Her name is Charo, and she's a show business legend. So, fun show. We're talking about, we were talking about movies last night. And or was it last night or the night before where we talked about what is the most offensive thing in a movie?
No, that was yesterday.
That was yesterday. Yeah. Okay. Be it an R-rated movie, an NC-17 movie, what most offends you? Sex, language, graphic violence. Well, it got us talking about comedies and how, I think for me anyway, it was a big 20-minute sex scene in the middle of a movie just as like, what is the point of this? So our question tonight is, what is your favorite raunchy comedy? You could also call it a sex comedy. That's what they were called in the 70s and 80s. Animal House, Caddyshack to some degree, Porky's, as Conrad mentioned earlier. There was a movie, and it was all these like phallic innuendos in the 70s and 80s. Joystick, all these terrible. But let us know tonight, what is your favorite raunchy comedy? I would say American Pie is in that category.
Yeah.
Superbad. Superbad's. The first hour of Superbad is a masterpiece. I love it. and I like the movie overall, but I maybe old school too. I would say old school falls into that category.
Yeah. The reason we came up with this question as well is because I mentioned to you earlier that it's the release of,
Don John.
Don John.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
And I believe it came out in 2011. That's what I think I saw.
2013. Yeah.
And that is definitely a raunchy comedy. And I just saw it like 2 months ago.
You saw the whole film. I was not aware, or I misunderstood what you said. So how did you, did you think of it?
It's really funny.
Okay.
I don't really want to explain it on air.
You probably can't.
Yeah. I just Google it and then just type in explanation.
We're on at night. We're all adults here. A New Jersey guy dedicated to his family, friends, and church develops unrealistic expectations from watching pornography and works to find happiness and intimacy with his potential true love. Does that sound familiar?
Yep.
Okay. He's kind of become autosexual, lack of a better.
See, the thing about that is the problem, they make it kind of smaller in that because it goes on for like, I feel like 30 minutes of him going through that problem
of having sex with himself.
Yes.
Wow. 30 minutes. That's
it feels
ambitious.
It, well, I guess it feels long because you're like, all right, why am I watching this? You know, it's.
Did you feel a little bit like odd?
Because people catch him doing it, and it's like,
oh dear.
He's like,
you don't need to relive that nightmare. Doesn't enough of that happen in your real life? Scarlett Johansson's in it. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Julian Moore, Tony Danza, ladies and gentlemen, and Brie Larson. Boy, a lot of these people have blown up.
It is really funny, though. There's some great comedy moments in it.
Is it a good movie?
I'd give it a 6 out of 10.
6 out of 10. All right. I'm going to go to the Rotten Tomatoes. But that is our question tonight, ladies and gentlemen. What is your favorite raunchy comedy? Let us know, and we will read your text on the air. It'll be fun. That's what we do here at Nightlight. So I have, you know, it's fall. We broadcast right next to a gelato store, which is it makes a lovely product. The gelato, Conrad says it's not as good as gelato in Italy. I believe him.
Yeah.
But it's delicious. I mean, gelato, even bad gelato, is probably pretty decent. But I have I went to see my daughter today at her college, so I kind of dressed casually. I had an and-one shirt on with Michael Jordan going up, speaking of raunchy comedies. Michael Jordan's it's the Michael Jordan poster look. He's got his legs open, and he's reaching up for the dunk from when he took off from the free throw line. And I spilled gelato in an area that looks like Michael Jordan's jockstrap gave way. It was really obscene looking. I had a big gelato spot right at his crotch, hanging from his crotch. So I don't even think I can show that on the air, on the stream. We'd probably get censored, right?
Probably.
Probably look like I took a Sharpie and did it. So that was the way my night started out. Luckily, I've got an overshirt and I look presentable. For those of you watching on the stream, Sherry checks in and says, good evening, Pete and Conrad. Sherry, are those Santa Clauses? Those are Santa Clauses, aren't they?
They are.
And hearts. I like the hearts. I like the Santa Clauses, but I think maybe she meant pumpkins. Maybe the pumpkin button was right next to the Santa Claus one. Either way, Sherry, you text whatever you want. It's great to hear from you. Donna from DeForest says, Pete, she says, just block these guys. Yeah. I blocked Elon, and now I don't have to see his Yeah, he is embarrassing himself. It's sort of like he just seems so desperate.
I have a feeling since he owns it, just one day he's just going to be like, these people who blocked me, I'm getting unblocked.
Yeah.
He's doing it himself.
Maybe. I don't even know how to do that, to be honest. And honestly, I'm only on Twitter now because of this show. 90%. So I don't really care. I just scroll past it, but I do find it suspicious. It's strange. And like I said, I think I said this last night, Elon is pushing so hard for Trump, and it's so obvious why. Like, you can go back and hear things he said about him. Like, they're not like pals. He just wants to do whatever he wants. But I shouldn't have to read about it every time I log onto Twitter. So maybe I'll take your advice, Donna, and I'll block. I'll block the overlord of Twitter. Steve from Florida says, Dumb and Dumber, the toilet scene is epic. See, that's interesting because I equated raunch with sex, but your dad is right. That's raunchy. Yeah. Jeff Daniels dropping a deucey doodle-doo. all right, so keep those texts coming. What is your favorite raunchy comedy? You can let us know. I didn't even read the number. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. The guy behind the guy coming up at 635. We'll be right back with more surprises here on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965 following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health. Because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Pat Kreitlow, words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
I am so curious to see how this pickleball movie is going to turn out. Ben Stiller is making a movie about pickleball. Pickleball has swept the country. It's not quite more popular than the NFL yet, but it's getting there.
Well,
it's got a ways to go.
Yeah.
I would love to see what that combine looks like. A bunch of 80-year-old dudes doing the 40, seeing how many times they could bench 225. Ben Stiller is making a film called The Dink. That's got to be a pickleball shot, right? Like you just kind of maybe dink it in there, I would imagine.
It is called a,
Okay. And I've played more pickleball than the average guy. I still wouldn't call myself an aficionado. I don't think I'm that good at it, but I have played quite a bit, and I've been playing for about 12 years. But it's huge right now. So in the spirit of dodgeball, Ben Stiller is directing a movie called The Dink about pickleball. It's going to star Jake Johnson. What do we know about Jake Johnson? Do we think he's a worthy adversary for the star?
I didn't even know that, and I actually think it's pretty good.
The guy from The New Girl?
And he was in Tag.
Oh, yeah.
Let's Be Cops. He was in this movie. It was a Hulu movie. I got to go to the Google for what it was.
A Hulu movie? They don't make many movies.
Self-Reliance.
Okay.
This movie was amazing.
Really?
I'm pretty sure it's... I need to look up the Rotten Tomatoes because I'm pretty sure it got a really good rating. But if you haven't seen that, I recommend it.
I'll have to check that out. Yeah, I don't know much about him at all.
74.
All right. For a comedy, that's amazing.
Yeah, I really like that movie. I think that's a great actor to be in that, though. I could see him being in pickleball gear.
Sure. I think he... I have seen him and stuff. I got to tell you, I cannot even think of him acting, though. It's weird. But Ed Harris is going to be in it. Mary Steenburgen. Ben Stiller will have a supporting role. And Andy Roddick is going to have a supporting role. Jake Johnson plays a washed-up tennis player who, I guess, turns to pickleball. You can see that coming a mile away. It's like a tin cup situation or something. But do you think it's going to be like dodgeball where they just like start wailing on the older people and crushing shots and stuff?
I think the old people are going to crush you the washed so? Up tennis player.
I don't know.
And then he needs to learn how to play it the actual way because he goes into it thinking like, I'll be good. I was a tennis player, you know. I don't think he'll actually take it seriously until he gets into the competition. Then he needs to learn it from the ground up.
Then he realizes there's nuance in the game. And Ed Harris will take him under his wing. I guess. I mean, to me, it seems like it really does lend itself to comedy in the way that Dodgeball did. You could have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be the requisite people getting hit in the crotch with hard wiffle balls, pickleballs.
I think Emerson Lehman's going to be in it, right?
Well, he should be. Sounds like he is like hardcore pickleball. That is, and he's such a young guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't think who knows? I mean, I was playing tackle football with my friends till I was about 27, which is lunacy. It's really stupid. But I played basketball. I don't know that I would have wanted to slow down. Not that pickleball is like, you're active and you're playing.
Yeah.
But I don't equate it with like Frisbee Ultimate or basketball or one of those games where you're like moving fast back and forth.
Well, see, the thing about pickleball is it is very fast paced, though.
Yeah.
It is.
Sure.
But I don't think, like you said, you're not getting as much activity though as those other sports. But it is fast paced at least.
I feel it's like tennis for people who don't want to be that active. But it's fun. No question about that. This is another story that drove me crazy. And I'm so tired of hearing about Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez have a $68 million home that they paid cash for. Great. They've earned it. They're both big draws. They've earned every penny. But sometimes when they write articles about these people having trouble selling their homes, I'm like, are they honestly, do they want us to feel sympathy? And this is another thing. David Beckham and his wife, Victoria Beckham, they live in a block called Mansion Row, I think it's called. And there was a whole article in the New York Post about how they'll have to endure their neighbors getting their home renovated. And it's going to be loud construction noises. And the whole article is like, what a challenge it's going to be for them. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. How many homes do they have that they can escape to during the carnage of their next door neighbor fixing up their house? I'm sorry, I can't. And billionaires too. I'm tired of hearing about ridiculously rich people that can't catch a break. And again, they've all earned it. They, you know, whatever. Elon Musk made some shrewd business moves. He got his money. Mark Cuban, same. Warren Buffett, my God, that's a lifetime of wealth he's built. David Beckham, great at his sport. Ben Affleck. But, you know, give me a break. Could you ever feel sorry for a billionaire or a multi? Nothing I read would make me, unless it's like something physical or the loss of a loved one, I go, of course, because we're all human beings. But outside of that, sorry.
Yeah.
They'll be fine.
I totally agree. It's like, you know, nothing can be that bad for you when you have that much money.
Just buy your way out of it. Spend your way out of it, buddy. Suck it up. Throw some hundreds at it. Throw a few C notes. All right, so JB, our guest at 6:35, coming up next, says next Friday, 10 to 4, favorite raunchy, that's the Bill Rubin event, I'm assuming. I'll clarify that with him when he's on the show. He says his favorite raunchy comedy is National Lampoon's Vacation. That's a great one, too. Here's my only issue with Steve's comment. I don't know that a PG-13 movie can be considered raunchy, even though there's the Jeff Daniels crapping his brains out soon. JB also says so many amazing films to choose from. That's certainly true. And then continues on and says highly competitive pickleball over the top. That's what the movie will be. Just like Dodgeball. Okay. It's a Bar Band Friday night, ladies and gentlemen. Terry Barr will be here at 8:35 with new music like she always is. And coming up after Civic Media's award-winning news keeps you informed, the guy behind the guy, JB Thompson, will be here. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I don't know what I'd do without you, babe. Don't know where I'd be. Every time I'm with you, baby, can't believe it's true. When you lay in my arms and you do the things you do, you can see it in my eyes, I can feel it.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Unemployment in Wisconsin is 2.5%. The State Department of Workforce Development says that's down from a little more than 3% in July. Joblessness went down in all 12 major population centers in Wisconsin since August, as well as since last year. Pro-democracy groups are calling out the mayor of Wausau for moving an absentee ballot out of the public's reach Sunday. Nick Ramos heads the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
Stunts like this only sow seeds of doubt into the security of our elections. This makes people think that their vote does not count. The truth is that your vote matters in every single election.
The Marathon County District Attorney is looking into whether Doug Diddy broke the law. A complaint has also been filed with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. In 1899, Joe, Jim, and Saul Cerugi began making fine chocolate candies in De Pere. Now in 2024, the business is celebrating its 125th anniversary. Owner Joe Cerugi says the biggest challenge they've faced has been modernization.
Like everything that we made from year one was always hand-dipped. The demand was growing that we had to turn out more, but we were not about to industrialize the production. And we wanted to have the same candies that we've had since 1899 and just be able to make more of them. And that's been the biggest challenge for us.
Both stores, the ones in De Pere and in Ashwaubenon, are celebrating the milestone anniversary with free tastings and special sales from noon until 3 Saturday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Headed to the movies this weekend? Here are a few options that hit the big screen. First up, it's the highly anticipated The Wild Robot. If you love movies about robots that get stranded on deserted islands, then The Wild Robot is your film. The story follows the adventures of Roz, a robot who has to endure harsh conditions after being stranded on the island and befriending a gosling. As you can imagine, it's a family-friendly film. The critics are raving about it. It's currently pulling a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. Francis Ford Coppola's 40-year, $100 million project Megalopolis also hits the big screen in wide release this weekend, but to uneven reviews. The legendary director's passion project is pulling about a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. And if it's graphic horror you're in the mood for, check out the Demi Moore film's The Substance. The film explores trying to make a better version of yourself by using, you guessed it, The Substance. What could possibly go wrong? Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny and mild for tomorrow. Highs in the upper 70s. And upper 70s to around 80 with sun Sunday and Monday. Then much cooler. Highs fall back to the low 60s on Tuesday and upper 60s for Wednesday. Right now it's 76.
Sierra Construction and Seymour reminds us to salute our emergency first responders, law enforcement, firefighters, and paramedics. They're there for us, willing to put their lives on the line with little or no thanks. First responders are the backbone of our country. They deserve our admiration. So this thank you is from Sierra Construction in Seymour. Not all superheroes wear capes. First responders, that's who we think of when we think bravery.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll be back from California and be catching up on the news as well as Wisconsin events. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Jim from Appleton says, oh, Pete, there are so many. He's referring to raunchy movies. That's our question of the night. What is your favorite raunchy movie? Could be a sex comedy. Could just be an R-rated shock comedy, whatever you want to call it. But we're calling them raunchy movies for the night. Let us know, 855-752-4842. Jim from Appleton says, oh, Pete, there are so many. Porky's, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Yeah, I would put that in that category, too. Biloxi Blues, the Neil Simon movie, Jim, with Matthew Broderick, The Van, Animal House, How to Choose. Yeah, there's a lot of great options. I don't think I saw The Van. I don't know what that is. Maybe our next guest knows what The Van is. Should we ask him? Why not? Ladies and gentlemen, joining me now on Nightlight, I'm excited to welcome my next guest. He is truly the guy behind the guy. He's found me several guests since I've been on the air. He is an indie filmmaker and a social media marketer, and he is kind of co-running or helping out with a big event coming up next week that we'll talk to him about as well. Joining me now on Nightlight for the first time is JB Thompson. JB, how are you?
I'm awesome, Pete. How are you doing?
Doing great. This is fun that we could finally line this up.
That's great.
Yeah, I've been wanting to have you on because here's what I like. When I say the guy behind the guy, you suggested a topic or a guest, and I'll be like, great, that sounds fantastic. Why don't you come on and we can discuss it? And you're like, well, you know what? This guy would be much better. Very selfless and very kind of passing the torch or paying it forward, whatever you want to call it. So I appreciate your selflessness and your contributions to Nightlight from behind the scenes, and it's great to finally have you on the scene.
Well, it's really great to be on here. And yeah, I've dodged it as long as I could. I had to go out and get my hair cut so I looked presentable today and everything else to get ready. So, you know.
Oh, wow. For a phone interview. Here. That's really impressive. But it's great to have you here. All right. So where to start with you? Let's start with, you told me a week ago that you were working on a film, an indie film. Can you tell us about that? I love indie films.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're working on the proof of concept for it, and the final edits should be done today, and then it goes off to get colorized, and it's just been a blast, man. I mean, it's called The Rise of Deermageddon, the musical, and this kind of originated a while ago, probably about 4 years ago. They talked about it, and then about a year and a half ago, I caught wind of it, and I'm like, let's do this. So, you know, we teamed up. We got a lot of different actors together, and actually, I was introduced to Dan Davies from our mutual friend Eric, and Dan's always doing film projects, right? Like he's out there hustling and making all these different things happen. And so he was kind of looking for somebody to kind of take ownership of this project. So we did the screenplay for it. And then, yeah, we shot it about 3 weeks ago, and it's been in post-production, and it's hilarious. A lot of great actors in it from the Wisconsin area. I mean, we got Dan, we got Kayla Kelly, which she's been on your show, Ezekiel Drews. Yeah. I think he might've been on your show. Amy Radloff, Daniel Wheeler, Craig Knitt, he's been on your show.
Sure.
Caroline Thompson, Eric O'Branson, Jericho Branson. So it's a phenomenal ensemble of people, and it's just funny, and it's a little bit weird, man, which I think, you know, it's a washed-up football player from Wisconsin, which I laughed because I found out that the Godfather of Green Bay, which is about this bar owner that's a washed-up football player from Wisconsin, right?
Yes. The Godfather of Green Bay, I wrote a character called Big Jake Norquist, who is living in the glory days, and he is a washed-up football player. Now he's a gangster and a drug dealer in Green Bay. That's an easy target, right? It's a great role to write. But tell us, and part of it is, JB, I love that, I don't know if you introduced me to Dan. I knew Craig. But I don't know a ton of filmmakers in Northeast Wisconsin, so it's great having met those guys, and your part in that has been great because that's what I like to talk about. I love indie film. I love any kind of film, but I want to be supportive. I know Wisconsin, in my opinion, They should make more movies here. And I know they're trying to pass incentives, but there's so many creative people here, so much talent. And I love what you guys did. When you say you shot 3 weeks ago, is this a feature film?
Nope, this is just a proof of concept. So it was supposed to be eight minutes, and it turned out to be just under 15.
Okay.
So this is proof of concept so we can sell it to make the feature.
Gotcha.
And right now we're eyeing up a bunch of different festivals, and we're going to do a festival run with it.
Nice.
So trying to promote the Wisconsin filmmaking, but it's funny because it really came clear to me when I was watching The Godfather of Green Bay, because there's a couple of different ways to view Wisconsin. Right?
Sure.
So I asked Conrad when we were getting ready to go here, if he's from Wisconsin. He's like, yeah, I'm from Northeast Wisconsin. Okay, so he sees things differently, right? I grew up in Wisconsin, but I've lived in Chicago, Florida, Montana, and L.A. And so you see different parts of the world, so you perceive the world here differently.
Right.
Especially if you're coming from one of those locations to here, because people are kind of over the top. So in your writing, did you feel that they were over the top characters that just needed to come out, or was that just for the comedic sense?
That's interesting. To me, it was purely a sort of autobiographic. I had done stand-up comedy. You know, you work your big rooms, then you go on the road, and you work little towns, a string of one-nighters to pay the rent. And that's kind of what these guys were doing in The Godfather of Green Bay. I love small-town bar characters. They're just, you know, I love dive bars, always have, whether they're in big cities or small towns. I find that's where you get the best characters. So that's kind of was my inspiration for setting it in a bar, in a roadside bar. And, you know, you throw some Wisconsin accents in there. Some people, you'd be surprised, don't like their accent being made fun of. And, you know, I did get a couple people come up to me after, go, we don't talk like that. I'm like, yeah, we do. And it's not a big deal. Just who cares? Like people, you know, when you show someone from Brooklyn or the South or a surfer, they all have that, you know, kind of twang or whatever it is with the language. And to me, that gives it authenticity. But yeah, that's kind of where
I think we can all agree on Boston, at least.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Boston, you know, they pretty much nail that in film all the time.
Absolutely. So Deermageddon, are there deer? Is there a deer hunting angle to it, or is it strictly high school football?
It's a zombie deer musical. So there's an element of zombie deer into it, as well as, you know, some high school footballish stuff. But really, it's a story about a man overcoming kind of this small town backwater thing where the town's going into the crapper, and he's trying to bring it back, right? They're trying to encourage this guy that was once the hero of their town to turn his life around, right? So it's kind of a Rocky story along with that, and there's zombie deer in it and some phenomenal songs. We booked a composer out of L.A. She's like 74. She's won like all these different awards. She conducts orchestras and everything else. She did the music and the arrangement, and I wrote all the lyrics. So
nice.
Yeah, it's just been a blast, man.
So let me ask you this, JB. How do you get, if there are any aspiring filmmakers watching, when you shoot an indie film, you've got to raise money. You need money for the film. You need money to shoot, I mean, a proof of concept. You can't shoot that for free either. So are you guys using your own credit cards, some savings? How are you getting through this process? Because the frustrating thing is, if you have a proof of concept, you're not going to make money back on that, most likely, unless you make the movie as a feature film, right?
Exactly.
So where do you go
With this, I mean, it was talking to a lot of different business owners and different people in the community, and I love helping people connect with other people, as you know.
You're the guy behind the guy.
The day before we were going to shoot this, we didn't know how we were going to fund it. And then I had a very good friend, you know, he's like, yeah, you still looking for money? Come on in. And I go into his office, and he goes into a file cabinet. He grabs, you know, a wad of cash, and he's like, will this be enough? And I'm like, perfect. So, you know, I'm really appreciative to him, because that was the day before we started shooting. We had everything lined up and everything else. And I mean, you could take personal assets and stuff, but it's always better if you have somebody sponsor it, right?
Yeah, it's a nerve-wracking, journey. And I think in my experience, I was blatantly honest with people. I'm like, look, you have to be able to take this money, throw it out the window, and never see it again. And, you know, I never wanted to take food off someone's table. Like, I don't want your life savings. I don't want this. If you have expendable income and want to do something fun, you'll probably enjoy this. You know, I mean, you just have to shoot people straight, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think the product's going to turn out, and I mean, it'll be something that'll last forever. That's the beauty of what we do in the indie filmmaking or in the, any type of filmmaking, is once you create something, we're still watching films that were made when films started to be made, right?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
It kind of brings everything into perpetuity.
Absolutely. My guest is J.B. Thompson. He's the guy behind the guy. At least he is for me. He's introduced me to a lot of people here in Northeast Wisconsin. And so did you grow up in Northeast Wisconsin, J.B., or a different part of the state?
Nope, I grew up in Oshkosh. So okay. I guess we kind of call ourselves Northeast Wisconsin. It depends where you are in the hierarchy, because yeah. It kind of looks down as you go south on 41 or 43, like people look down upon the people that are below them, right? Fond du Lac being the basin of it. So pretty much Green Bay, you know, looks down on Appleton. Appleton looks down on Oshkosh. It's just this fun, almost like Packer versus Bears thing, right?
Funny.
There's just this descent upon people that are in different locations in the state, I guess.
You know, it's so funny you say that, because I think people just by their nature need to look down on someone else or make fun of the town across the river or whatever it may be. Yep. When I went to school at DePaul University in Chicago, and I met a girl from Nina at a party, and she was one of the volleyball players. And she said, I said, oh, I'm from Wisconsin too. She goes, where are you from? And I said, Marinette. And she goes, oh, you're way up there. And I'm like, that's the response I get. Look, Nina's way up there in the broad scope of things. Like, she just chose the one nugget that could make herself feel better. But,
oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's hilarious that you say that. All right. So you worked in the record business too. You said you worked for Warner Brothers.
Yeah, I was in Chicago as a market manager. And then I went from Chicago to LA. That's what took me out to LA, was working for Warner Brothers Records. And just assisting with, you know, different groups in town, like bands that were traveling through, meet and greets, live shows, all different sorts of stuff, kind of like a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
Of, you know, helping out. And I worked with some phenomenal artists, and I met some great people. And that's my bailiwick, is being in that creative space. I love creative people that, you know, aren't the people that are attached to working a 9-to-5, barely alive. You know,
right.
I love the creatives. I love the people that are willing to take a chance.
You weren't at any of Diddy's parties, were you?
I was not.
Oh, thank goodness.
He was, I think, on Sony or Columbia, so he wasn't part of the Warner Brothers thing.
He dodged that bullet. Is the music business as horrible as musicians say it is?
Well, I think it's really shifted now to get even worse. When I was there, there was still, you know, physical media, which is how a lot of the royalties and stuff came in. Now that that's gone, there was a record label called Victory Records that created what was called a 360 deal. And that really taxes bands more than anything. But now bands can get out without major distribution and kind of get a fan base, start a fan club, and make a really good living.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's a lot tougher for us now, because now we have to listen through a lot more stuff in order to find what we prefer, because everybody's got a voice, right?
Absolutely. So how did you like LA? I lived out there quite a while too, and I'm just curious as to what your experience was like.
I worked from home before remote work was a thing. I'd have to go into the office maybe a couple of days a week, or maybe a day a month, depending on what my schedule was like, and most of my stuff was all out remote. So I didn't have to deal with the daily traffic grind and going back and forth, which is what most people complain about. So I'd just wait until a more appropriate time and go, I needed to do. So I loved it. There was always a different flavor for different areas of town. If you wanted to go down to K-Town and have some of the best Korean barbecue, you could do that.
Yes.
If you wanted to go out to the beach, you could go to the Venice Beach, or you could go to, you know, Santa Monica Pier. There was just so many different things, and you get bored with that, go to San Fran, right?
And there's a lot of stuff
go to LA.
Do for
go to,
free
go to Vegas.
That I was surprised at too. Like, you're right. It's like, I was the same way. I never had to deal with the freeways, so I had a really enjoyable time too. But if I had to commute an hour and a half one way, I probably would have hated it. But J.B. Thompson is here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about an event happening on October 5th called, well, you'll have to tell us about it, JB. When we come back, we'll get into that, and we'll find out what he's watching on TV. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
sat there at the table and acted real naive. Her knew that topless lady had something up her sleeve.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in a quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now at WGBW.FM. Your news just for the Green Bay area. I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that Just a Bit Outside the Movie Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You gotta go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie.
Yeah.
Seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
All the children.
Absolutely love that song. This is funny. Tom from New Berlin. He says, Pete, Kentucky Fried Movie from Homeboys, the Zachers. That's a misprint. It's supposed to be the Zuckers. But Tom did what I always do with autocorrect. He put Pete, Kentucky Fried Movie, Homeboys, the Zachers. Then he fixed it with a new text, the Zachers with an apostrophe S. And then the third text was the Zuchers, Z-U-C-H-U-R-S. I know what you meant, Tom. You meant the Zucker brothers, a couple of Wisconsin brothers. He said, Pete, you figured it out. Everybody will complain about getting hung with a new rope. Dude, what is that, Conrad?
I don't know.
I should have read that right when he wrote it. It would have made sense. But anyway, thank you, Tom, for the text. I did that all the time. Sorry to hear your dad dies. Oops. Do it again. Dried. Oops. Deaf. Dead. It's terrible. My guest is J.B. Thompson. He's the guy behind the guy, and he has a company called, help me out, J.B., Ninja Marketing?
Oh, Midwest Digital Ninjas is the name of
Digital,
my company.
That's a great
but
name.
I only cover home services and assisted living. I don't do much outside of that.
Okay.
Those are my preferred ones that I work with. And then, of course, I help out other people with different things. But, yeah, it's great. I've been doing that for a couple of years now, and I love it.
Nice. Oh, that's fantastic. So, all right. So we've got there's a big event coming up. And I had you and Dan Davies and Craig, one or all of you, lined up Bill Rabane's appearance on my show. And Bill Rabane, for those of you listening who don't know, is – sort of this, he's this director who made a film called The Giant Spider Invasion back in the 70s, and it's a cult classic, and Bill made several movies, and he's all, what I love about Bill, JB, is that he's not just from Wisconsin. He is in my hood, northern Wisconsin, baby. He makes his home way up in Wisconsin. So it was really fun to talk to him and know that he was also a fellow 715er. I really enjoyed the interview with him. Craig was here to help help kind of facilitate that because he and Bill are friends. Tell us about this really cool event you guys have put together coming up next week.
Well, before I do that, Pete, do you know how he arrived in the 715? So he immigrated from, you know, Estonia. Estonia was had a conflict with the Russians. He was a refugee, then moved to Chicago. And then from Chicago, he was shooting something in northern Wisconsin, loved it, bought some land, called his wife and said, get up here.
Right. Sounded like he was kind of bossy.
It sounds kind of, well, I mean, I think it's just that he wanted a place where his kids could be, you know, kind of out and do stuff. But then he also established the first film studio in the Midwest called The Shooting Ranch, which he did commercials. He did like corporate training films and then started to get into The Giant Spider and then a number of other amazing films that he made, like The Game, which is also called The Cold, the movie with Tiny Tim called Nightmare. He's just a joy to talk to, man. Like, he and I have developed a pretty good friendship since Craig introduced him to me. So it's been super cool.
He did too. I don't remember what it was, JB, but he made some innovation in filmmaking and I can't remember what it is now. We discussed it when he was on the show, but just a real, kind of an innovator and a great story too. We talked when he was here, he talked a little bit about living in Chicago in the various neighborhoods. And, you know, when he came up here, he was ready for it, man. He loved the wide open spaces and the North Woods. So, it's pretty cool that he lives here, but so we have a couple minutes left. What's the event is going to be? Is it in Wyawega?
It's in Wyawega at the Gerald Opera House. We're honoring the 50th anniversary of the Giant Spider invasion. We're bringing Bill down. The Nava Mirage dance troupe's going to be there. They're going to do like a really cool dance. You got my buddy, like one of my best buddies, Will Kaiser, is going to be playing some songs there, honoring him and his legacy of Wisconsin film. So that's going to be a great one. We got a bunch of raffle items donated by Central Waters, Hendricks Family Distillery, which they were in there by you.
Yeah.
Appleton Cigar, which they were in by you. Stubborn Brothers Brewery and Schmetti Salsa. It's going to be a really cool event. And then the fifth, there's actually a second event called the National Independent Film Awards. So for the people that you're talking about that are looking to get into film, going to an event like the National Independent Film Awards would be a great way to network with people. And that's happening on 10/5 at the Appleton Beer Factory, where they're going to be doing the documentary Through the Storm, which is a 9/11 documentary by the Black Donnellys and then Academy Award winning Jeff Ulm.
Very
so
nice.
That's a big weekend coming up there.
I would say so. I just realized I think you were the one that put me in touch with Norm from Appleton Cigar too. So thank you
Absolutely,
for that.
Absolutely, yeah.
You're my guy. You're tying me into the community here even more so in Northeast Wisconsin. I love it. But can people
go? We're happy you're here.
Yeah, well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Can people still get tickets to either event and where would they go to get them?
Yeah, if you go and you just Google the NIFA Awards in Appleton, there's an event where you can get tickets right through there. The Appleton Music Factory, which is the venue that's at Appleton Beer Factory, they've got the tickets for the Black Donnellys, which is a band from Dublin, Ireland. They were a house band in Vegas for about the last few years, and now they've toured. They actually have Guinness Book World Records, or Guinness World Records for playing a show in every state. When they came here from Ireland, they toured and played a show in every state.
That's so cool. Hey, we got to run, buddy. Thank you so much for. I know you got a busy night, but I appreciate you taking time out, JB, to be on the show. And I wish you luck. I know Craig and Dan will be here Monday to talk more about the event. Good luck with it. Break a leg.
Thank you very much.
Me posted on Deermageddon. I'm excited to see how that turns out for you guys.
Yeah, we're doing the premiere of that actually on October 4th as well during the Bill Remain
event.
Oh,
fantastic.
So
all right.
We're spinning it that night.
Outstanding, buddy.
Thank you so much.
Have
Steve.
A great night. My pleasure. We'll do
you
it
too.
Again. All right. That's JB Thompson, the guy behind the guy. And it's a bar band Friday night, ladies and gentlemen. Terry Barr will be here at 7:35 with new music. So much fun. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the movie Quick Change after award-winning news here on Civic Media. I'm Pete Schwabba, and this is Nightlight.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, James Vanderloo, the head of OEC Group, an expert in transatlantic trade and tariffs, will get all wonky with me. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Mino and the Mayor.
When I went up north a couple of weeks ago, and there was a line of about 14 people.
That guy should get a ticket.
Because everybody kept pulling out to try to see if you could pass.
Right. I feel bad when I'm flipping off these old people, because I don't think that's nice.
Well, you shouldn't do that.
I know I shouldn't do that.
Next week's headline. Former Green Bay Mayor gets tased from Michigan State Police. Details at 9.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.